Blog Talk Radio.
The natural hair care and maintenance training being brought to you by Complete Beauty Solutions, where cosmetology meets healthy naturalism and everything in between. Now offering our half-off introductory special all summer long. So log on to cbeautysolutions.com to sign up. That's C like complete, then beautysolutions.com. We'll also be on the number one hair radio show, so don't miss out.
And I'm shouting out the hair radio show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the hair radio show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the hair radio morning show, Terry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the hair radio morning show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Tonight, you can fly away with me tonight.
A man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
I want to tell you all about HealingGo.com. They make all-natural hair products with a focus on quality. Got to try their scalp stimulator that has 13 oils to promote hair growth. Go to HealingGo.com to see their complete line and listen out for their interview right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. That's HealingGo.com, HealingGo.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Hi, my name is Ajak Deng. I am 27 years old, and I've been modeling for 8 years.
Hi, my name is Nyakim Garwich. I am 25 years old,
and I've been modeling for 2 years.
Hi, my name is Leomi Anderson. I'm 24 years old and I've been modeling for nearly 11 years now.
Hi, my name is Kadia Diaz. I'm 21 years old and I've been modeling for 2.5 years now.
This one girl asked me one time, she's like, is it true that when black people take a shower, or like the dark black people take a shower, the water don't touch your skin? Like you don't feel the wet of the water on your skin? And I was just like, huh? This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you get in the water, you're going to get wet, despite of your black, yellow, purple.
One of the instances is where I was waiting at a casting for 3 hours. They'd seen my face. I'd been sitting there amongst the other girls. And when I finally got into the casting, they say to me, sorry, we're not looking for any African people. And I'm just like, well, that's 3 hours of my life I can't get back because of you, kind of thing. And I was just literally like to them, you know, if you're going to be racist, let me just tell you one thing. My heritage is Jamaican, but we're all from Africa. And they're just like, I'm just like, really? Like, it's the ignorance is just like so shocking.
I had so many crazy experience with hair and makeup.
Being backstage and not having someone to do my hair right or do my makeup right makes me feel like I'm not represented. Like, no one just really cares about my skin color or my hair type.
Before I even had cut my hair like this, I used to have an afro. You know, you could do a lot with an afro. You know, you could either braid it or straighten it or curly it, but it was like, we don't know what to do with your hair. The texture is too nappy.
I always have to travel with a brush and gel, because when I'm backstage, sometimes I have to do my hair or do my makeup. Well, it's not that they don't provide someone to do it, but they won't do it the way I like it, or it won't be, you know, what I want.
But I had an experience in Milan where I went through hell, basically. They glued in a whole head of extensions, they ripped them out, they blow dried my hair, they straightened it, they put hairspray, and then literally he was just about to put like a really water-based gel on my hair, and I just turned around and I said, if you put this in my hair, it's going to make my hair go frizzy. And he literally just started going off, like calling me like the B word, telling me, who do I think I am? Who do I think I'm talking to? He can end my career in 2 minutes. And this is when I was 17 years old and it was in a room full of people. I felt so embarrassed and I was literally in tears. And that was when I really realized that, you know, being a black model is a completely different experience.
I was at this campaign and backstage they didn't know how to do my hair. So they felt like, basically they had a white hairstylist and this guy didn't know how to do braids and he just like parted my hair and did whatever he wanted with it and I wasn't happy with it.
Backstage, yes, absolutely, because not everybody has the correct products to use on dark skin, or maybe they do have it, but they don't think of the whole undertone thing, because, you know, I have a red undertone, even though I'm darker than most.
I feel like often black models have to redo their makeup, and I remember all, like, the black models coming to me because I was the only one with my makeup bag, like, Leomi, I need some powder, the stuff that they're putting on me, they're trying to say it's translucent, but it's white, like, help me out here. So, yeah, it's an instance that I've come across numerous amounts of time.
I feel like it's unfair, because white models don't have to do it. I've been in a lot of backstage and it's only the black models that do that.
Most of the time, if a makeup artist doesn't know what they're doing with my skin, I just kind of want to be the teacher that they never had. Bring out my own, my little, you know, makeup bag and just say, you know what, as you can see, this is the same, but this has more red in it and this is just gray. So it's going to make my skin gray. But if you want, you can mix that with this and then we'll get the perfect color of mine. And it's like, oh, most of the time they listen. Most of the time they want to fight you on it.
When I would go to a show or photo shoot, you know, and then I would sit at a makeup artist's chair, you know, and expecting them to, like, put on a foundation, highlight, you know, concealer, you know, all the types of, all the stuff you do for makeup. And it's like, as they never have any products for me. You know, I was like, we don't know what to do. And it was like, oh, this is my favorite line. You don't need foundation. Your skin is so flawless. Like, no, you don't have the foundation. It's not that my skin is flawless.
In New York, a lot of makeup artists know how to do black skin, so we never really have that problem in New York. In London, they kind of are very well advanced out there, and they know how to do it. It's when you get to Milan and Paris, or like Spain, that they just like, oh my God, I finally got a dark skin girl, so here's my darkest makeup brand I've never used. You're like, no, right?
why is it that if a white model says, ah, you're hurting me, it's like, oh, sorry, babe. But me, it's like, oh, your grandma must have, I'm just like, no. My grandma has a nice soft touch. Lies, because everyone knows your grandma hurts your head, but she gets the job done, unlike them. So it's fine, you know?
This guy goes, do you taste like chocolate if I lick you? I was like, what? He's like, do you look like you taste like dark chocolate. So I just want to see, can I lick your hand? I was like, no, you're not going to do that. And he's like, why not? I just want to taste it. I was like, lick your hand and you tell me what that tastes like. And he did. And he's like, it tastes like skin. I'm like, that's what mine tastes like. Have a good day.
The thing that really drives me is the fact as well that I don't know what the future holds. Every single day, every single season, we're seeing so much progression for young black women within all industries. So I'm like, if I give up now, who knows where I could be? I could be like the Oprah Winfrey of the fashion industry.
Brands are just trying to make black girls this trend, and it's not a trend. It's diversity, it's representation, it's everything. And it's sad, it's very sad.
I want to leave a good mark in the industry. I want to do something that's going to change a lot of people's lives and that's going to help the world, humanity. So the future is bright. The future is promising for us, and I think we all just need to stick together and work together because it's the only way we can make it further.
I want to tell you all about HealingGo.com. They make all-natural hair products with a focus on quality. Gotta try their scalp stimulator that has 13 oils to promote hair growth. Go to HealingGo.com to see their complete line and listen out for their interview right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. That's HealingGo.com, HealingGo.com.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very, very special guest, we go back a very, very long way right here on our broadcast and really beyond. Let me just bring her to the line. Without further ado, it is, again, my great honor to welcome that. Let me set this up properly. She is a hair industry luminary, a true superstar in every sense of the word, a publisher. She's the publisher of the San Diego Monthly Newspaper out there West Coast. And I call her Royal. You guys know she's the daughter of Dr. William Morrow, a famed dietary 400 years of Dr. Combe, and so much more. And I'm honored to say our friend, right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show, the one and only show. Good morning, show.
Hey, Carrie. Well, good morning. It is still morning on your side.
It is morning out here. Yes, Cheryl is on with us all the way from sunny San Diego area out there in California. So we're so happy to have you with us, Cheryl. It means a lot.
I'm happy to be here.
It's been,
oh my God,
it's been a long time. It's been a very, very long time since we've had you on the show.
Yeah, no, it's almost like coming home, you know.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know what? You are part of this. You've been a part of this for me. I mean, I'm going to just put it out there, decades at this point. I mean, it's been a long time, Cheryl, and you have helped to educate. I'm going to kill a little background thing there. You've helped to educate fans of the show for a very long time. We have aired your amazing interviews, the commentary that you have shared with your unique perspective. And we've done live events together. We've done radio stuff together. We've just really, you're one of the biggest folks out there to me in this business who's really, you know exactly what's going on. You know where where the bodies are buried in this business. So, yes, you really do. So first of all, Cheryl, let me just bring everybody up to speed. What
are you working on? In addition to all these amazing projects, what do you have going on these days? Tell all the listeners.
Well, I think with all of the conversations that I've had probably in the last year, Carrie, and of course, you know, we've had our industry, hair, beauty, and skin, and, you know, ethnic beauty has taken a hard hit. So I think one of the most important projects to me is to tell my story of just how I grew up in black hair care at the beginning of the boom, as the billion-dollar economic industrial revolution of what we call the curl, even though we were coming out of pressing curls and going into the afro. So that's one of the things I'm working on, is a documentary of my life and how I grew up in black hair care. And some of people, it's funny, you know, because people would always say, you know, we had all this wealth and black dynasties and of generating black wealth, but where did the kids go? You know, where did the money go? Where did that whole wealth gap? Where is it? And so I feel, you know, a sense of responsibility to at least tell it from my perspective. So that it's almost like that, all that wealth kind of like evaporated.
And so, well, that's what I'm going to ask you. Yeah, where did the money go? Where? That's the question, the million-dollar question here, literally.
Yeah.
We're talking about generations of hair industry superstar folks.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, so
it's a complex conversation because you can't talk about where the wealth went until you talk about, there's a conversation that I do address called gerontocracy. And gerontocracy is when the passing doesn't happen. And your predecessors stay too long. And they stay too long because they're not adapting. And we always talk about how companies should adapt to the, you know, you adapt inside before you see signs of the changing of the trend or changing of the times. And so there's a thing that and when you get into the 70s and 80s, most of those companies were ran by men, black men. And so black men tend to look at their children differently.
Watch the show, Marl. No, geez.
Black women. You know, no, they do. And it's, let's just say, you know, you have your John Johnson, you have your George Johnson, you have your Mr. Dudleys, you have your Mr. Marls, you have your Mr. Bronners. You have the World of Curls and the Donnies and the Leisure Curls. You had these men. And so they did have children. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the limelight is addictive. The limelight is addictive, and they just don't see the continuity of their legacies through their children. It sounds like a good thing. They know they should do it, but they don't do it. You know, and so
there's
a cultural thing. And then when you have the Eunice Johnsons and the Celia DeVore, and you have Dr. Katie Wickhams, and you have this, when you have women, they tend to let go a little easier. So those legacies can continue. But there's just like a real cultural thing. And then I get into it into the documentary because it's real talk. Mm. You know, this is not just us wanting to pass wealth. Not us wanting to just close wealth gaps. You can't close wealth gaps if you don't have the continuity of the predecessor into the succession plan, which is your children.
I agree.
You can't close a gap because the gap keeps getting wider because white America keeps passing it on and locking it within their culture. We don't. Mm. It's a cultural thing.
We don't
I get
really,
into that.
It's a different thing.
Yeah, we don't get it.
Well, let me ask you about that a little bit, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because, you know, I mean, on a simplistic term, in a very simple way. I talk to a lot of hairstylists, you know, throughout the years, and I always ask them about, you know, they open up the shops, and I very basic. I say, well, what about your kids, you know, or they helping you or working at the shops and, you know, and this and that. And they cannot get those kids to help them at the shops. The kids generally take it for granted. You know, they've got all the money that comes from, you know, the parents' hard work at these salons and barbershops. And they just go on and living a very, you know, great life from the benefits of the financial aspect. But they do nothing to support the parents' hard work, and they truly are not going to be heading up any kind of, you know, taking on a business. That's just not even on the table. And I always wondered about that, and I kind of think about it for my own company. So this is something that is very, very important, and it's a big disparity between the African-American community with regards to succession, I call it, and the and the people who are outside of our community. So this is really something that is very interesting to me. And I know you're on a different level with it, but it just I don't understand. Is it just is it just something that the kids don't, you know, should we expect them to want to, you know, pass, you know, to continue on in their with their parents' legacy? You know, is this something?
Think about it, Gary. I didn't want to be a barber. My father started out as a barber.
Right.
The key here is that Mr. Marl created a company. Now, think about it. Most hairs, you know, because I'm a hairstylist. I get it.
Yes.
The problem is that their hairstyling portion of their business is not a company. So there is no room to do other things besides maybe promotions or marketing of the parents' actual skill sets, which is doing hair. Where else is there other means of doing something else if the child or if the offspring is not doesn't want to do hair? And just think of this analogy, and I always tell them when I get this question, you know, would I really want to inherit a cotton picking business? You know, black people pick cotton, and you know, would I want to pass that on? You know, so the physical portions of, you know, businesses are not companies. Businesses is one thing, and a company is another. So in a company is encased, which I always tell people, I'm an intrapreneur. I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't need to make anything. I don't need to discover anything. I don't need to do any of that. What I need to do is to come in with something already formed and take it to the next level. So because my father had a company, right, he had a company which had, you know, roots, and then it springed out with branches and leaves. So there was so many branches to him because they had a company. And just take the Johnson daughter, you know, with Ebony and Jet. Because Ebony and Jet and was really actually a beauty business. They were Duke and Ravine, because Relaxer and Duke was a men's line. There were so many other things to do within Johnson Publishing. So it was an actual company.
Right.
So that tends to allow the successor to kind of fit in and take the reins. But if you are just a business, which hair salons are, and barber, you tend and it's tied to the parents' physical skills. You really have a very difficult time with that, with the succession plan.
Well, now you are talking about in this, in your upcoming documentary, we're talking about some of the biggest names in the hair industry. And so I'm just, one of the things that jumps out at me, have you heard any feedback from some of those, you know, some of those families, some of those super well-known hair industry superstar families? Have you gotten any feedback
yet? Evaporated.
What are their thoughts?
Well, the problem, when you are acquired by big companies like Procter & Gamble or L'Oreal, and you evaporate. Yeah, there is nothing to, unless they you stay on as a consultant or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. But no,
and that doesn't
usually
last too long. Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Cheryl Morrow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Just amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I'm looking forward to this documentary.
well,
so,
on so
that,
because I was in I was in the studio doing San Diego Monitor News business as a publisher, because we now had it added a podcast studio, right? And in the middle of
that,
I see I get a phone call from Chicago or someplace, and they want, you know, 1,000, you know, Willie Morrow blow dry novels. It's just that, you know, here I go, I'm in the newspaper, but I get calls about something that was created over 45 years ago, and it's still the number one heat tool on Amazon. That is Succession.
Let's
something in beauty. It's an amazing
and
thing.
Exactly.
Because that's a company, and it's not.
Yes,
you know,
and I want to remind, I absolutely want to remind everybody about the amazing legacy and lineage that you have. So we're talking about the Morrow family dynasty. So I'm in the hair business, and your father, as you just mentioned, that starting with the novel, tell us a little bit about his invention, because that really, that hit the mark out there and made him pretty much a household name in the hair industry, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, just combs, period. I think that in those 60s, 1964, bringing to commercial market is the brilliance of Mr. Morrow. Not the fact that creating or duplicating something that had already been done in the continent of Africa. So the comb in and of itself is not the invention. The invention is to be able to put it in industrial commerce to make it available. Because if you didn't go to the continent of Africa in 1963, 1964, you wouldn't get it.
You wouldn't get it, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
So the ability for him to take it, to redesign it, patent it, take it to the U.S. Congress, put it into commerce, and to commercialize it, monetize it, right, and productize it.
Yes.
And make it available for black people in the West Indies, black people in North America, black people in Canada, you know, in Europe, and black people in Asia, black people in Africa too. They didn't know it was a thing, you know. So we could fashion and style our hair and be a part of the secular world. So the Afrocomb was put in the secular world by Mr. Morrow, by redesigning it and industrializing it. It's the same process as taking tobacco. Yeah, tobacco is natural in its environment, but to make it be consumed and then enrich yourself by that great legacy called an Afrocomb, and then making other people have it in Cuba and you know, in Hawaii and other places. So that was the brilliance. Invented up to create this generation, and then you have the first one, and then the next generation of them, and then to have utility patents, and then go into, you know, making a comb and a blow dry so we can have blowouts and straighten hair and things of that nature. That was, I think, the difference between a Mr. Morrow, a Joe Dudley, a Gardner, a Fulshing. It was just a different angle to being part of the legacy of the beauty.
Absolutely. And I just want to also bring attention to that documentary, because to me, 400 years without a comb was so far ahead. Now, documentaries are a lot more you know, out there, maybe it has a lot to do with the pandemic that we have come through. But I do want to say that the documentary, that documentary really started a lot of the hair industry documentaries, if you will, to me. You know, I think it's one of the most well-known and most seen hair industry documentary in the world. So, and we're talking about 400 years without a comb, and it's still out there. And I'm just loving that. So again, well, we're talking about hair legacies and loving it.
Yeah, it started out as a book. Wow. And I think that that is probably one of the reasons why it's the hair care, you know, historical Bible that everyone goes to, you know, because it's a three-generation book. In all three decades,
wow.
Mr. Morrow rewrote it. And then in the last, the fourth quarter of its generation and its edition, he created the film. So, and Mr. Morrow just really deals with the culture inside of the plantation, and it starts there because the commercial market that you and I enjoy was started on the plantation. It formed itself into, and because of that complete disconnection for about three centuries, that disconnection from the world's first organized beauty kind of, that activity, the way we did it, you know, it was not quite done. When Europe went to colonialize Africa, that is where they learned hygiene. The roots of beauty is hygienic, not, you know, fashion and styling and things of that nature. But it was basically really had its roots in hygiene. And I think that starting there, only a black person could have done that, Perry. You know, no one cared about
absolutely.
Obviously. How you fashioned
absolutely.
Yourself and cleaned yourself and how you, you know, became this really sophisticated society and culture and how you, you know, you did things, you know, with your body and your health and well-being. No one was interested in that type of story. So, yeah, once again, Mr. Morrow hit it on the head, you know.
And it didn't stop there. The San Diego Monitor News. I want to talk about that. Can you tell us a little bit, for those who are outside of the California experience, if you will, what exactly is that? And I believe that you go everywhere with it. So tell everybody about it.
We turned from New York. I lived in New York for 19 years. And, you know, one of the things that, and this is me, you know, I'm going to tell this story in the documentary. One of the reasons why Mr. Morrow got into publishing is not really because he had a great love for journalism, but black people don't really understand that it's legacy to get a newspaper. All hair care men. All hair care families, it was almost like a rite of passage. You had to get a publication. You know, most people think that John Johnson got the publication and then got into the hair business. No, John Johnson, was already in beauty. So their mentor, S.B. Fuller, always told them and taught Joe Dudley, George Johnson, which is Ultra Sheen, Johnson Products, and then John Johnson, which was Johnson Publishing. When you start your beauty line, you get you a newspaper. So Mr. Morrow was just following the great recipe and the great formula of success of S.B. Fuller, one of his mentors. So
yes,
all of them got newspapers. So Mr. Morrow got created one in San Diego in 1986 because of the mentor Bill Thompson in creating. S.B. Fuller always taught them that you create your own advertising tool. So if you get on the cover of somebody else's publication, that was fine. But make sure that you are always, you create a product, you got to have a way to advertise it. So create a magazine in and of itself, put some content. And you see how forward they were actually? And if you think about
how powerful
content is today,
absolutely. They were way ahead.
It was.
Wow.
Yeah, it was opposite. You know, it was to be the power of the advertisement. You know, be ahead. Put yourself on your own cover. Put yourself, you know, look bigger than, you know, you actually are. You know, put your own content out there, your own stories, and then put yourself on the, you know, on the cover, and then put your own ads. And, you know, so it was always about advertising the actual root business. So that's how Mr. Mom got into it. And then, of course, and it just rolled into a journalistic product, you know, local business, local people, and things of that nature. And then
which I love,
it's been adjudicated for over almost, you know, we're heading into 40 years, you know. And so I have just taken over. And, of course, in 2010, I turned it digital. I saw the handwriting on the wall. And I was the first black paper in the state of California to be adjudicated and digitized at the same time. So it was I made sure that I created a hybrid. And it was probably because of my technical skills, you know, graphic skills and technical skills and all that stuff I learned while I was in New York, that I could make that turn and that very, very quickly. So,
well, I love the stories that you guys cover. Yeah, yeah. We've got to tell folks, how can they get their hands or see? Oh, absolutely. I love when you guys put things out on the internet and, you know, and I see, and you do such good work. I love the pictures and the graphics and everything. You're not telling the same stories that everybody else is telling, and I refuse to. Exactly.
Yeah, I think that our people need orientation and information. You know, because you know, at the end of the day, we have a saying: if you're not informed, news doesn't matter. You know, if you don't know anything.
Whoa.
You don't know anything.
I have to write that one down. If you're not informed, the news doesn't matter. Wow, that says it all. Wow, okay. You know, let me bring everybody on up to speed with this. If you're kind of just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, my very special guest today. She really returns back to us. It's been quite a while. So she comes back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You guys know her. She was out here with us on the East Coast, but she's returned to California, the San Diego area, as we were just talking about, the SDMN, San Diego Monitor newspaper, which we just love, this San Diego Monitor News, I should say. So, Cheryl, how can they get this online? Do you have a place that you can send everybody to find out more, to register?
Yeah, it's a mobile site, so you can get it on your mobile device, and you can go to the website, sdmonitornews.com. Yeah, our story content is very off the beat. I am very picky what our readers are exposed to. They're always going to get a very avant-garde, a very different way of looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, I believe that's one of our impediments. We are so 1960s directed. We are so infused in the 1960s that to get, you know, especially African Americans out of the 60s and 70s, it's very hard to get us back into the present moment of who we are. And
exactly.
I tell them all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, you think about it, African Americans, all 46 million, the average age of an African American in this country is 26 years old.
Isn't that?
And then
dealing
with the African diaspora, they're 19. So if you think about 26 and 19, then, you know, that's a lot of time that, you know, we've got to look at things differently. We've got to look
at
things very, very millennial. And I think that that could be one of our strengths, thinking
Absolutely.
About things in such a different way to get something. I have also another saying, you know, we want something we've never had. We've got to do something we've never done. We've got to think ways
exactly.
that we've never thought.
And exactly. Well, let me turn to probably I'm going to call it the elephant in the room, and that is the pandemic.
Okay.
Yes, and I know that's a topic and a half. That's a, you know, we'll probably have to add on 2 or 3 hours to cover this one. But I have, what is your take when you look back? Because right now, as we go to the air with this particular broadcast today, we are more than what they're saying in terms of emerging and all of that. And what can you say looking back? What was the experience like in California and the hair biz part where you were? And California, to me, California is a very different, had a very different approach with all of that. But what's your take? You are living there.
Yeah.
What's
your
take on
Because of the weather, I think we made an adjustment very quickly because we could go outside very quickly. We were always outside, you know. And so I think that they adjusted well. I think African Americans did not adjust well because, of course, you know. And to me, let me just say this: the elephant in the room is not really quite the pandemic, from my perspective. The elephant in the room is that the fact that Black people are prone to be frightened, much more traumatized than our other racial counterparts. So we don't adjust well. We have the boogeyman. You know, everything's the boogeyman for us. And our people secretly in our silos were saying, oh, stay in. You know, and that is not quite good for business. And so if you are naturally afraid, you don't pivot. You're very slow to react. And you can imagine, Carrie, I was very avant-garde and had a different take on it. You know, because after, I would probably say March of 2020, it was not a pandemic at that point. It was an epidemic in the United States. An epidemic in Brazil. It wasn't a pandemic at that point. Other world governments had contained it. And so that's what we keep saying. Like the rest of the world had our issues. No, the rest of the world, the continent of Africa, barely is reaching 4,000 deaths. The whole 54 countries.
The whole continent, right.
That's enormous if you think about it. And there's something quite not right with that. You know, within 50 to 100 to 200 miles, you know, from where we quote unquote say it began, I mean, they have less than maybe 300. And so it wasn't a pandemic long. It was an epidemic. And I think that because our news outlets, and speaking of the San Diego Monitor News, I just refuse to kind of put fuel on the fire I didn't take any COVID money. I refuse to because I can't say no, because you can't really stay.
Well, they were throwing it out there.
Yeah, they were throwing it out. Let me just say this. And I refuse to kind of have and I think I did it once, and you know, Carrie, I just couldn't do it because one of the things, because it doesn't allow you to look at things objectively. And if we're going to have
black news,
and if we're going to be very neutral, you can't be involved in that kind of thing.
Agree.
And let me just say this: as our mother company, which is Beauty, I can afford to do that, and I understand that most papers needed that money to, you know, so, hey. Right. And because I was digitized prior to 10 years ago, I pivoted very quickly to digital and still maintained my other advertisers. So, you know, 2020 was not did not affect me. Not economically.
That is amazing. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because
and
after
so,
the census was going on at the same time. So that was very supportive.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which changed the game here in New York for us to a degree. I have to say, though, and looking out, so what are some of the, you know, when you look at the beauty industry, You know, how, in your opinion, has it affected the folks and the beauty industry? I mean, especially, like you said, in California, though, see, you guys were, remind me of Georgia. Right after this pandemic was kind of declared, right, Georgia was like, okay, we're like literally about 2 weeks later, we're open for business again, everybody. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
I remember having panel discussions on our broadcast here on the Hair Radio Morning Show in the year 2020. It was just strange, a very strange dynamic in different states.
Yeah.
And so the industry was very different, and then with and we've had the people from Barbicide and all these other folks on, and they scared the bejesus out of us with the discourse on television news, as you were kind of saying.
Yeah,
it just was it's almost surreal. So so when you look at the beauty industry, will we make it? What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't even think it's that the salon. I think that we could have pivoted. That I also was involved in some technology and formulation and dealing with a disinfectant that covers you from all viruses 9.993.
Really?
And it protects you for 90 days. You don't even have to sanitize. Once you sanitize your
hands,
you know, you protect it. Yes. We have it in production. It has all of its OSHA and FDA passage. So I answered it in a very technological way. But here's the thing, Carrie. It's not about what is going on in the salon per se, because black hair care professionalism is wired through the salon. But the industry is wired through the trade show. Once you took the trade show and you could not meet in the groves of 7,000 to 10,000 people, you decimated the ethnic hair care industry, because the ethnic hair care industry is wired through the trade show. So now the expo, and now the festival, and now the trade shows, you can't meet. So how do you carry along something that is wired through the actual platforming, hairstyle, and trade show, and all these big, huge halls and auditoriums?
Exactly.
And conventions. When you can't meet.
And I'm raising my hand right now.
You devastated. Yeah. And so that means that ethnic hair care, because the Brenner Brother, as you know, it is over. The international show in New York is over. You can't meet.
Wow.
Those are too many people in one confined space, and now, you know, you're just trying to stay 6 feet apart, you know, and you've got to, you know, that is a nightmare.
It was a show killer for sure. Yeah.
And so the problem is that,
please finish your thought. The problem is.
The question and the challenge for black hair care and ethnic beauty is we needed to pivot long before this. And I have been telling show promoters for at least 5 years, pivot to the small conference and the more con kind of business model, and create a different kind of gathering to where it's an invited list. And it happens more often instead of twice a year.
Exactly.
And so,
I speak to 1,000%.
You know,
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, they act like I didn't, you know, say anything. So, you know, invite the formulators. You know what I mean? Invite. Create a TED Talk style, or there's so many other ways to bring smaller groups. Yeah.
Exactly, and to create those lanes that'll support you and take you through these times. Now, Cheryl, I've got to say, there is one big story that we are revisiting here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And this, not too long ago, but there was a huge story. Now, I'm telling you, it was the number one covered story, especially in the hair and beauty industry, but it had crossed over into mass media. And this was the story of the Gorilla Glue girl who had put the glue in her hair, the Gorilla Glue. And she was rescued, so to speak, by a California doctor, Dr. Michael Lobang, who was a guest on our very show, on the Hair Radio Morning Show. He spoke to Hair Radio first about this this ordeal for this young woman and how he was able to remedy the situation. But let's start with your take on this, because we're talking about this again as we'll be checking in to see what's new and what's the latest that's going on. It's been a few months. Has her hair grown back? What happened? What's going on? So we will revisit it. But what's your take on this situation? I wish I could have seen your face when you heard this on the news.
You know,
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall.
Yeah, you know it. And you know, I'm always going to be honest with you, Carrie.
Yeah.
Wow. And let me just say this, and I am in no way invalidating anybody. The doctor thing was to me was, you know, a little far out there. You know, it's so funny because the glue, and here we go again, and this is me sticking up for my beauty and beauty professionals, because I am a hairstylist. For that particular act connected with a doctor, to me, you know, because at the end of the day, the glue in and of itself is not a medication. That's number one. Number two, it's not. It's in the store where a common person can purchase it. And for not a beauty professional to not be able to help her, and I won't even say be able to help her, right? Because what the medical professional used to unstick the stickiness of the solution, anybody could have done that. Because what he used to do that. Now, will you save the hair from the high content of what the effects because of that particular chemical that in that glue did it, you know, because we have to ask what was on the hair first. Was it relaxed?
Exactly.
Was it natural? You know, at the end of the day. So, and to me, because it probably was not really on her scalp, that the scalp hair is probably the hair that is going to obviously be the healthiest. But, you know, I already know in terms of, you know, of course, we don't necessarily talk about it all the time, but I'm the only cosmetic trichologist in the world that deals with cosmetology-based hair loss on afro textures. But, you know, eventually that hair is going to be cut away from her body. Yeah. It's not going to be. It's not going to be. So,
Cheryl,
you know, I don't know. I don't know how much help he was. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well,
I'm a little in the middle. Yeah, I'm a little in the middle with the doctor angle, you know, because eventually.
You've got to be back on the show when he's here. So, because I would love for you to break it all down with Dr. Obing, who just seems like a nice gentleman and all. But, you know, there's a whole lot more to this story. There is. There's a great deal of this story. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful that we were in the middle of it somewhere. I'm just grateful
at the end of the day, you have to cover it. You know, if nothing is black, black news and ethnic beauty news, that story was a prime example of it. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, I am honored. Again, we've been chatting with the amazing Cheryl Morrow. Hair royalty, you've been declared and named that for decades. We've been calling it that, hair royalty, right here on our broadcast today. So, yeah, I appreciate your take on it because I've always wanted to, when I hear some of these big stories and some of these big things, I always say, what in the world would Cheryl Morrow say? Really, what would you say about it? Because you always have an interesting
The moment I saw that,
ways.
The moment I saw it, I was like, oh, God, here we go again. You know, why did she just end up at a salon? How did we get to the doctor?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, really weird, you know. But anyway,
Yes. Well, it's about education, and that's where you come in, education. And what was that line earlier? If you're not informed, then the news don't matter.
Well, if you're not informed, news doesn't matter. Yeah, you can't gossip with anybody
yes.
who's not really informed about what they're gossiping about. You know, you can't gossip
with them. I love
it. You know?
I love it.
That's it.
I totally agree. Well, Cheryl Morrow, now what's next for you? What's next for you?
I think that I am going to probably be peeling away from the publisher kind of role at San Diego Monitor News. The George Floyd thing kind of took me out. I think I wanted to be at the helm during that incident and the one-year anniversary and, you know, all of these things.
Well, were you one of those
coming
who
up.
Were... Were you against the use of the word anniversary? I didn't understand that because anniversary means, just that. It doesn't indicate or mean that it was, you know, party on a table per se. But I saw a lot of stuff online that said, oh, don't call it an anniversary. No media company call it an anniversary. It's not a celebration. So I said, well, I understand what I think what the person meant or their sentiment, but I don't think that – I don't see what the harm of the word itself, anniversary. How do you weigh in, being a media company, Ms. Publisher of the San Diego Monitor News?
Oh, how
do you weigh in on that?
The wonderful thing that I got a call one day, and it was the first cousin of Mr. Floyd.
Mm.
Their mother are sisters, and he is stationed here in San Diego. And he grew up with him. And after, you know, experiencing that whole thing, you know, it really, you know, that is tomato, tomato, you know, anniversary, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, we know what, it, you know, it,
yeah.
it, what happened.
We
and,
know what it really means.
You
exactly.
know, well, we get caught up in things of that nature. And I think that once we deal with our trauma, about it, then we can clearly talk about preventing it. And that is very hard to get. And that's why I don't join a lot of black news outlets. I'm just,
the chatter,
you know, we're just
and
different.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just different
yeah.
because at the end of the day, on this end of the world, we have a wonderful civil rights activist and founder of the People Alliance for Justice Advocates. His name is Reverend Shane Harris. You know, he's approaching it in terms of preventing and plucking out the next Derek Chauvin. That's not, you know, George is one focus that people can focus on, but at the end of the day, we're not plucking out. I mean, he had 7 to 8 excessive forces on his record already, 19 years. Why didn't we understand that this guy was a problem? You know, so
exactly.
let's just focus
exactly.
on, so on our side of the world, we're choosing to think tank and focus on better policy in that regard from the incident. And my experience with Mr. Gary Jones, which is a cousin, he's in the military as well, you know, San Diego, that is, we're known for that. I think that, you know, it's you know, we can ring the bell. But, you know, you listen to the recording, you know, it's
wow.
he's going to jail for fraud, which means that they were executioner, judge, and jury. Even just
yeah.
arriving on the scene.
Yeah.
So we want to prevent that because there's something that happens before excessive force. And there is a disregard of the Constitution. And that is the problem. This is a problem when they approach you that you are outside of the rules. And why is, you know, I tell Black Lives Matter and the whole people, Black lives don't matter, won't matter until Black life matters. And so that happened before the incident.
Yeah. Yeah,
and once that happens, that will then when Black life matters, the way we, who we are in and of ourselves, when that matters to you, like it matters to you, you know, like your life and white life, Italian life, and, you know, when that, when life matters, the way people live and how they move and morals and their ethics and their ethos.
Well, we have about 60 seconds. I wanted to just to thank you. And is there anybody that you'd like to shout out to or pass along some well thoughts before we close out this morning?
Oh, just the whole ethnic beauty world. I think that we're all in it together, and we're gonna make a change, bring some technology and innovation, and work with Carrie.
Please
create this whole new gathering, this whole new way of doing things, and expound on the legacies of the pioneers. Absolutely. I'm excited, Carrie.
Absolutely. Me too. I am. Well, as you've heard, we've been chatting today with the one and only Ms. Cheryl Morrow again. And I love that you've talked about the hair industry. I think that you brought a lot to that, you know, in making, informing the folks out there and creating your own discourse. Again, the San Diego Monitor News, you are a publisher. You're the daughter of Willie Morrow, 400 Years Without a Comb, and so much more he's accomplished. And you are continuing that legacy. So you talk about the generations, the subsequent generations, and where the money, where's the money? Well, I think we found it to this morning. Okay, Ms. Cheryl Morrow.
Thank you.
We found it. So look out for, we'll look out for her documentary, folks. And stay with us. We've got a lot more this morning of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. It's been my pleasure to have you, Cheryl.
Thank you. Can't wait to come back. Thank you, Carrie.
You got it. All right, folks. Keep it right here. We've got more to go. Stay with us. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Hi, everybody. This is Linda C. from Hairpreneur, and I'm shouting out to Carrie Hines and his amazing team. Don't forget to tune in to our next episode right here on The Hair Radio Show. Stay tuned.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. Okay, wow. All right. You're listening live to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Okay, there we go. All right, we're back live. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Wednesday, June 2nd of 2021. It's live radio, folks. It's our broadcast number 571. I'm bringing to the line on this amazing day, this wonderful Wednesday here in New York City, Miss Terry out of the Atlanta, Georgia area. She's our fan contributor. She chimes in with us mid-show. So good morning, Miss Terry. You had a moment there to get to. I have to remember which
good
mic
morning.
I'm on.
good morning
officially. Yes, I always have to remember. And I say to folks, we're going to have to one day put the camera on us. If you could just see me hitting all these buttons every morning. So sometimes I forget which mic I'm on, and I hit the wrong mic. I'm like, uh-oh, something doesn't sound right. Anyway, we are so happy to have you with us. How are you doing today on this wonderful Wednesday?
Thank you. I'm doing great, doing just great.
Good. Well, happy to welcome you and all of our listeners from every which part of the planet to our broadcast, whether you're listening live from 6 to 9 in the morning or whether you have tuned in to our rebroadcast that we share a little later, of course, during each day. If you'd like to take part, and maybe we should clarify this, if you'd like to take part in our live broadcast so that you can be part of the replays that are heard all over the world a little later we share across social media, you've got to wake up early. Our broadcast is live from 6 in the morning till 9 o'clock Eastern Time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mondays, we usually encourage you to listen to one of our encore broadcasts. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we are available for live call-in, which means you can dial the 516 number. It's actually 516-453-9458. Press 1. That is if you have something to say. If you just want to listen, you dial the 516 number and you can listen to the broadcast, whether it's your cell phone or your home phone. All of that works. Some folks listen online by using their cell phone. They just go on the internet and literally go to blogtalkradio.com/hairradio and to access our broadcast. There you can listen to a live show if it's live or any of our over 550 broadcasts that are archived. So that's really fantastic. And other folks, they listen online by going to the link on their computer. Again, they go to blogtalkradio.com/hairradio. And hair radio is always spelled with just one R. My suggestion is to always have a book or a notebook and a pen or whatever, paper handy, because we cover a lot of talk each day, and that's what we are. We're a talk show. We do play music from time to time, but we're essentially an information broadcast. I call it infotainment, Miss Terry, so that we can kind of, get the folks up to speed each day. That's why we do it early. We're on, so at 6 o'clock in the morning, my television is on. I'm watching television in case there's any big news that we need to share with our listeners from everywhere. We've got folks who we need to shout them out all the way over in Ghana, Nigeria, Egypt, Australia, Italy, Canada, all the parts of the Caribbean, parts of the South here in America, from coast to coast. As you know, we have tons of folks on from California each day who listen live. Texas, the Midwest, up northern, we've got Chicago, the Indiana folks, all those people, the Northeast, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, on down to Florida. So we are always happy to welcome everybody. We just always need to do that roll call, Miss Terry. We need to get the roll call in each day. So that's what's going on. I just want to also take a moment to just tell you what's going on today's broadcast. We've got a lot to get into. That is, I want to continue a little bit on the discussion. We started yesterday with the Black Wall Street stuff. It's still all over the news. The president, Joe Biden, did a speech on this from Tulsa. That's a lot going on. And so, and a lot to digest. It really is. And so, you know, what can we say? Also, I want to pay tribute. There's so much in the month of June, Ms. Terry, in addition to the Black Wall Street stuff going on. I want to just acknowledge, and as I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast about the veterans, and we were just kind of getting over the observation of not veterans, but Memorial Day, which usually relates a little bit more to the folks that we lost in combat.
Right.
So we are going to be focused now on creating a new radio program that's all about the veterans and us paying tribute to these amazing men and women who protect our great country. So lots to get in. What are your thoughts on that, Ms. Terry? How do you weigh in on that this morning?
I definitely think that's a great thing to have a show kind of directed at the veterans and people who have given their life to serve the country. I think that's really awesome for us to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait. I just think it's going to be awesome. You're going to meet the host of that coming up next week. We're going to have him on to talk about what to expect on this show.
Okay.
So we're real happy about that. And we'll pick out a good time slot for him. So I think I'm starting to lean towards Mondays. I'll see how it all plays out. You know, there's always a lot to consider. We're doing our first production meeting tomorrow. So I can't wait to you know, I'll share any updates and all of that with our fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Sounds exciting.
Right? It's going to be awesome. We're still celebrating. It's June. We just started. But yeah, there's Black Music Month. Black Music Month. So we're going to get on a wonderful interview a little later with Miss Allison Williams. You know her. She's the Just Call My Name lady. We just love her. She's just awesome. So that's going to be coming up a little later today in our honor of Black music. We're starting with our own guests. We have had many superstar folks on our show. So Lenny Williams comes to mind from Tower of Power back in the 70s and 80s. And he was on, he's still out there. Lenny Williams is going strong, let me tell you. I've interviewed him a couple of times. So he's doing really great. I mean, I love the conversation because when we did the interview, he was on and he talked about Miss Betty Wright. Miss Betty Wright was the lady who I love. She sang a couple of songs that I absolutely love. As a child, I grew up listening to my mother play the Clean Up Woman song. And a little older, this is before your time. And then there was another song she did, which was called No Gain, No Pain type song.
I've heard both of those.
Really? Oh,
yes.
I'm going to just fall out, Miss Terry. Oh, my gosh.
I have.
Wow. Well, let me tell you, she was a true superstar. We just lost her, like, not all that long ago, really. Betty Wright, she passed. Really, we just lost her. She just died, like, maybe within the last couple of years. But Lenny Williams talks about her in our interview, so that was really, because he worked with her on a song, and it was really a beautiful song that I love. She was a true musician, though. She was nothing, she wasn't a lightweight.
She really wasn't.
Hmm.
Yeah, some good stuff.
Yeah, she did. And that's what I love about it. I mean, we already pay tribute to these music acts on the Hair Radio Morning Show. This is not something that's not organic for us. So it's awesome that June we're able to really remind everybody. Like yesterday, I got on a couple of songs that we really hadn't heard in years. And so we'll be doing that. This morning we kicked off with a new song called Levitating by Dua Lipa. And she's one of these new artists that's out there, and she's just killing it as well. She has very international flair. The song is called Levitating again, and I just think it's awesome. Levitating is it. And so we're going to continue some of these amazing songs. Coming up in just a bit, following the interview with Allison, we will be talking about, we'll play, Just Call My Name by Allison. Why not? I think it'll be fun. Plus, she has some new songs. Her latest, she's more of a jazzier kind of style these days, Summer Nights in Harlem, which I just love this song. It's super jazzy. And so for you jazz heads, you're going to love it. But you guys remember her from R&B, Just Call My Name. So we'll get that on. So we got a lot of stuff to get into this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and get that started. Remember Smooth Black joins us at 8:30 Eastern. He's going to be live on our show. Now, again, he's out in sunny Southern California. So he's going to be talking to us here in New York. And we're excited to bring his interview, his live piece. He's with us every Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern, so 7:30 Central. So we're real excited. And today, I'm hoping, Miss Terry, you being a hairstylist, that you'll be able to do some stylist-to-stylist talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Mr. Smooth Black. So we're excited, you know, to have that happen. And he's really, you know, I used to, you know, contact Smith Black and let's have production meetings on this. And this man is just so amazing. He's able to. He's been doing this for a long time. And you too, Miss Terry. You guys have been in this industry for many years. So, you know, you're able to kind of maneuver in a great way without a whole bunch of preparation that would probably be warranted for someone with less experience. So this is really, it's going to be cool. And that's all that's, I mean, we've got other stuff, and I'm not going to hit you with all the announcements now. We're going to get on Miss Allison, and we'll take a little bit of a, we'll take a little bit of a music break. We'll get on Miss Allison, and we've got a lot more to get into. So, you know, just stay with us, everybody. Stay with us. We'll be right back. The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room. Stay tuned.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit FixYourFeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Has your trip to the local hair store left you down? Same old hair with little selection and outrageous prices? Well, you need to check out TracyBeautySupply.com. This is an online beauty store specializing in all types of hair. There are different lengths, different colors, different styles, and you can basically live out your hair fantasy through this site. TracyBeautySupply.com is devoted to helping every woman's dream of the perfect hairstyle come true by providing the highest quality of virgin human hair. Want a new look? We'll help you find a new color. We'll help you find it. You can't get it? We got it. And we can deliver it to you because we can deliver everywhere. TracyBeautySupply.com, where hair fantasies come true.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is just about 10 after 8 New York time as we broadcast live. I have to say, my next guest is just a singing superstar, legendary artist, and we're going to get right on in. We've got her for a little bit this morning, so this is a real treat because we're live. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. It's my honor and my pleasure to welcome the very first time to our show, the amazing Miss Allison Williams. Good morning, Allison. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Happy.
Yes.
How are you?
I am doing just great. We're going to turn tables and find out how you're doing this morning on this crazy day here in New York.
Well, it's morning. It's very early, you know, being a night bird. This is, I prepared special for this.
thank you, big thanks.
I do love the mornings. I just don't get to see them that often. So I thank you for, you know, I know some people have done more than I'll do all day, and they're not even at work yet.
Right. But I have to tell you, I have to, because I was just teasing Allison before we got on this morning. I have to say, I was just saying that we have done, you know, everybody's been on our show, and a lot of these folks you've worked with, and we'll get into a little bit of that, but they've been on our show, and I have never been able to convince them to get up early to do the Hair Radio Morning Show live. We do amazing interviews with everybody, but they've all been, you know, pre-taped, scheduled back and forth over time, and, you know, and this and that. So when I got the feedback and you were going to come on live, I said, really? Awesome. Because you guys are always in the studios and you're doing things, you know, you're always out and touring and doing all kinds of things. So, you know, you tend not to necessarily be such an early person, you know, in general. That's, I guess, the stereotype. But I'm grateful to have you. So thank you. You're like one of our first early morning celebrity guests. So welcome
I'm
so much to the show.
I'm starting a trend.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh,
let me tell you. Well, first of all, and I have to say, you know, just the interviews that we do, they are from the heart. They are true. And just to go back a little bit, one of the things that just kind of jumps out at me, you are so stylish. And I mean artistically, just creatively, you're just deep. You're on many levels. I'm going to say profound. Okay, I'm going to dress it up today. You're just very profound.
Well, if that is a word you must use, we'll allow it at this time. Thank you so much.
It is so true. It is so true. I mean, I just love everything. Going back to, let me just put it on out there, because I want folks to know why you're here this morning, and it's not just to entertain me. But I want to say Allison Williams has a wonderful new release, Summer Nights in Harlem. Summer Nights, and we're going to get that on for you guys in just a bit. But tell us a little bit about Summer Nights in Harlem.
Well, Summer Nights in Harlem was brought to me, the song Summer Nights in Harlem and the flip side, and I know people say flip side, what is she talking about? The flip side, The Romance of You, were brought to me by a producer by the name of Maurice Lynch. And Maurice Lynch is the cousin of a mutual friend out of Michigan, out of Detroit, who I had worked with for years as a stage manager. When I was doing a lot of plays and traveling across the country and what have you. And this gentleman, Maurice, has been doing music for a long time and writing and composing and had live shows, live stage presentations, mostly in the gospel arena. And he was about to put together a show that paid tribute to the Harlem Renaissance and the soul music of So the jazz of the Harlem Renaissance and the soul music of Motown, and how those two, even though they were established miles away, came together to make some of the great music that we know as the backdrop of our lives. And he was told by his cousin, shout out to Mike Lynch in Detroit, that if you need somebody that sings jazz, you need to find Allison Williams. And I thought that was such an incredible, you know, compliment, because this man found me and showed up at the, you know, at one of my gigs and said, I'm coming to you because someone said if I need a jazz singer, I need to find you. And I have some music I need to know if you, you know, consent to being a part of this review that I'm writing and this show that I want to mount. And when I heard the music, I knew immediately, Carrie, that these were songs that I wanted to sing, not only in this man's show. You know, I told him, I'd love to be a part of your production, and let's map up the music, but you've got to give me the opportunity to record this music for myself. I want to release it, and I want it to have a life of its own. and he agreed. So we decided to collaborate and be co-producers, and he brought this great music to the table, and I brought an all-star cast of personnel and musicians, Christian McBride, Kristen Sands, Ulysses Owens, Ron Blake, basically the Christian McBride trio plus the horn,
wow.
Kirk Whalum, Ray Chu, Solomon Hicks, Glenn Sneed, just Greg Sneed,
everybody,
just really wonderful players, and you know, basically those who are considered the young lions of our present, you know,
wow,
situation in jazz and across the board in general. You know, Ray Chu brought some wonderful orchestrations. I wanted to play the music. I wanted to do the music that I had been raised on, you know. I was raised listening to some really great jazz music and knowing what that was. And so I said, this is an opportunity for me to get to sing this music. So that's how the project came to be.
Well, I am loving this. And I have for the folks out there, I want to kind of talk a little bit about that. You mentioned being raised on this type of music, on jazz music. We've got to start with you, you know, being the daughter of an artist, a well-known, respected artist. Please tell everybody who Bobby Booker was and what he meant to you.
Well, both of my parents, came through. My mother, although she ultimately retired from the nursing arena, she gave up her career as a singer, dancer, actress to raise her daughters. My father was a jazz trumpet player and a band leader. His name was Bobby Booker. My mother, like I said, sang and danced and acted. Her name was Shirley Williams. And I could not have been born to two more nurturing or more talented individuals, and I'm thankful that they never looked at my choice to follow my dream as well, you know. Nobody's kind of iffy. You're going to school to be a doctor. You're going to be a teacher. You know, they never did that. Not to say there's anything wrong with any profession. It's just they allowed me to, like I said, follow my dream. And
that makes
wow.
a big difference, does it not?
It
really does. You know, I think I just posted something yesterday about that behind, like, every, you know, child is, like, every creative child and every, well, let me find a quote exactly because I don't want to screw that up, but because it was just so profound in how it communicated that essentially it's the parent is recognizing that special gift that that child has and knows how to nurture it. And when you come from, mm-hmm. as you just pointed out, two amazingly creative parents, you know, it doesn't, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, obviously,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my mom was a nurse too, so I've got a shout out to all those frontline, what are they called? Is that not something? Absolutely,
hey, listen,
absolutely.
They almost had me, Carrie. They almost had
Uh-oh.
Me because had it not been for singing, you know, I was like any other kid. I wanted to be a veterinarian. I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to be an Olympic gymnast. I wanted to be a figure skater. I wanted all of these things. But I think more than anything, I needed to experience the feeling of flight. I needed to experience the feeling of weightlessness. I wanted to fly.
A free bird.
And so these singing, I found that singing and dancing and acting gave me the opportunity to do that because I wasn't happy in my surroundings. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I was raised in the happiest home ever. But the
right.
surroundings, you know, the other people that I came in contact with, the other experiences, they were a little rough for me in terms of just I didn't understand what made me different. I didn't understand why other kids could be mean and bullies. And I didn't understand it. So I would pray, God, if I could just fly, then I could not have to endure this.
I could so identify with you. You were, you know, I believe, and I read somewhere where I believe you were kind of like me, like a learned person. You enjoyed reading and were just very creative and dynamic, even as a young, you know, young child. And I just, I'm just blown away. No, that's not real popular.
Not popular. Stop no. raising your hand and having the answers
exactly.
and wanting to do extra credit and all of these things.
Exactly.
You know, it was
exactly.
just, oh, God.
I can't even begin to tell you. It's like I'm looking at my life story here. I've got to tell you, that quote, by the way, was behind every young child who believes in himself is a parent who believed first, and someone named Matthew Jacobson said that. And, you know, and I do believe that, because when you have creative parents, I just think it's something that you kind of just pick it up. I don't know if it's osmosis. You just kind of pick it up naturally. And even, you know, just as a kid watching my mother go off to work and having to dress in a nurse's uniform, and it was still dark outside, you know, every day, and my father going
days?
To work. Oh, do I? My mom,
it's
back
incredible.
In those days, she... She had to
wear
the hat.
And I had, they wore the hat and the white stockings.
Yes.
And I
yes,
used to have to polish
yes.
the shoes for her.
Yes.
You know, that was
oh
my job
gosh.
To polish the little nose
so
shoes.
I remember.
And the mixture.
Yes. And they used to use the polish in the blue box.
Me.
You remember that?
Me?
So I know what you're
yes,
talking about. Yes, those
mm-hmm.
are the days. Now, I have to say, Allison, I want to just tell everybody, because I love that you started you know, doing dance. And to me, your career has been that of a triple threat. You know, we all know that you are just an incredible, incredible vocalist. And that's, you know, I'm sure you hear it all the time.
Thank you.
But folks may not realize that you have a very strong dance background. Tell us a little bit how that came about and how did that work into your overall career?
Very strong. Having been years before the Dance Theater of Harlem had a brick and mortar school, I was studying with Arthur Mitchell in the basement of the Church of the Masters in Harlem, and it was I guess just ordained that after leaving that situation, as he went off to build and create and bring forth what we know today as the Dance Theater of Harlem, I was right there when that happened and ended up back there. So, you know, a little kid, maybe 3, 4, whatever it is, 5 years old, working with him. And then later on, when I was about, 8 or 9 years old, the school had been built, and he took some time off from the Church of the Masters and went on to pursue that, and I became a scholarship student there at Dance Theater of Harlem and excelled through to the junior company, also dancing with Marie Brooks Children's Dance Company as a result of DTH, and just really having some very strong ballet, modern, jazz, ethnic, all the different genres and disciplines. And I was quite happy there, knowing with what I was getting at home, that, you know, singing and acting went hand in hand with the dance. So that was always my mindset. I looked at the few images that were available that looked like me, and that's what they were doing. That's what Lola Falana was doing. That's what Pearl Bailey was doing. That's what Darcy Dandridge was doing. That's what Diane Carroll and Harry Belafonte and Sammy Davis were doing.
Wow.
They were singing, dancing, and acting, and that's what
I
wanted to do.
Well, you have done just that, and we're going to talk more about the singing, folks. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I've got just an amazing, legendary performer and artist. It's the only way to describe Ms. Allison Williams with us live on the line. We're actually live this morning. And I have to say, you know, one of the things that I read, and just even talking a little bit more about the acting, are folks kind of surprised to see you acting out there, or is this just, you know, and you've done a lot of acting work. This has not just, you know, been some kind of flash in the pan with acting. You really have applied yourself and all of that. So are folks kind of surprised, or do they just expect you only to just go sing and that's it?
I don't think they're surprised, and if they are, it's pleasantly surprised, I hope.
Good.
But I know that
yes.
I get a feeling of anticipation to, well, okay, this is great. You can act, and you're acting in you know, okay, so but now when are you going to sing? You know what I'm saying? And
yes.
Or if I've been cast into something that is strictly dramatic or comedic, that is strictly theatrical without a musical aspect to it, they are asking when, where, and how, and
it's
could
tricky,
you, are,
right?
Aren't you going to sing? They just don't understand that I can actually just support a performance that is, you know, theatrically based. It's not musical, you know, at its root. So I think that I've experienced that. But like I said, for the most part, if and when people have seen me act, which I hope they're going to get a chance to see a lot more of, because
yeah.
that is the direction that I'm really moving towards, I hope that they'll be pleasantly surprised. And I hope that my work, the work that's brought to me, the work that is that I'm blessed with, will allow me to continue to grow as an actress. I want to be challenged. I want to get better.
Well, it's
you
so
know?
Funny that you say that, Allison, because it just reminds me. I was watching Saturday Night Live over the weekend, and they had on Adele. And before the show aired, did you see? But we did, you know, it was not announced that she would actually perform because her was up there. And so I totally felt that I would be disappointed if she did not sing something, and you know, and I was almost disappointed
and they,
to hear.
And they were very clever. They worked it into the
They were very clever.
And they made it work. It was very clever.
Did they
but
not?
But to me, I didn't feel, maybe because I'm an artist, I didn't feel like I felt if she had decided that she only wanted to host, then that's on her. That, you know, that's the deal she negotiated. If she didn't want to sing, she didn't have to sing.
She didn't
have to sing.
Is that not something?
I guess, yeah, and if she did, Carrie, I have some very, personal, I guess, is the best word I can think of right now, as early as it is. You know, my brain's not
yes.
really going to work
That's
until
okay.
later this afternoon, but I like Adele's music. I like Adele's voice, but I'm always thrown off when I see a beautiful woman in a gown with a updo, and she's really done, and she sings, and then when she starts to speak, she's got potty mouth. I don't understand it.
Oh, we love her music, but she is one of those artists, and there have only been a few, I believe, that you really kind of have to separate what she's singing, you know, her talent to, and versus what her, you know, the personality behind the artist.
Right.
And
I totally
understand.
I'm not saying she doesn't have a good personality. I'm saying
I
think there's a certain time and place for everything, and sometimes she's crossed the line, and I've been like, okay, now, did we really come and put all our good Sunday's Best on and our good opera pumps on to come in here? You talk like we went to the bar down the street.
Yes, she
really. Because we just went straight to the bar.
That's right.
And
well,
I'm not
she truly.
That's the thing. Maybe some people even see it as, you know, part of her, you know, a quirk that makes her even more even more delicious, because she has
exactly.
that little thing. It doesn't work for me. But love her.
Right.
You know, love her.
And you know what? That to you, I have to say, Miss Allison Williams, because that is really who you are, you know, class personified, in my opinion. And when I saw, you know, I watched quite a bit of your interviews, and you're always very, the word is, it's like just a natural sophistication that you have an air about yourself, and it just totally separates you from a lot of the artists, and again, we've had quite a few who've been on the show just then, some of the folks you've worked with, like Melba Moore and so many others, and I was reading in some of your, and when I did a little deep dive, and I saw some of the folks that you had named out there, I said, well, my God, we've really traveled in similar circles with, you know, quite a few of the same folks, and one of the guys out there, in addition to Miss Melba and so many others, I saw the name Maurice Hines, and of course we have Maurice and I have the same last name. And I ran into Maurice years ago, And because this is when Gregory Hines was still alive. And I would, because folks have my whole life, are you related to Gregory Hines? That's all I ever heard. And the family, the Dancing Brothers and all this kind of stuff. I go back a little bit, okay? I'm just going to tell you that right now. And so it's really true. When I ran into Maurice and we were out in New York City, and Maurice, I said to him, I said, you know, folks always ask if I'm related to you guys. That's exactly how I said. I hear it all the time. And this is when Gregory was really popular. And, and Maurice was well-known as well. But, and he says, he looks at me. And Allison, he says, you tell them yes. That's what he said. And he just kept right on dancing. and I never forgot that. And I just love the energy and just, you know, they're just rare, these amazing folks out there who could, you know, they've accomplished, they've had a certain level of success and could, you know, walk around, with their head in the air. But they're very down to earth, and I have to put you in that category as well.
It's so funny you bring up Maurice. I had an opportunity to know both of them. As a matter of fact, Gregory Hines was one of my forever crushes. I crushed on Maurice as long as Maurice Hines was on the planet. But what girl didn't? And with Gregory, rather, and Maurice, love him as well, and have had a chance to share a stage with him. And you know, when someone who's as accomplished as those gentlemen, when they look at you and express respect and speak and pour positivity into you as a performer and encourage you and give you the you keep going, you keep doing, you've got what it takes, you've got that thing, that it factor, it really stays with you for a lifetime. And I thank Maurice for that. And Gregory, when he was alive, I just finished watching, there's a new documentary that is in the world called Bring Them Back. It's called Bring Them Back. And it is it chronicles the life of Maurice Hines and how he started and the whole family thing with Hines and Dad and his Broadway group and what to, it's incredible and chock full of information and lots of good people and good friends, and of course he's there being his ever effervescent and age defiant self, you know. And so I just had a chance to watch that. I'm thankful for some friends that made sure I was notified for the private showing of it. So I implore anybody who gets a chance to see it that they do to bring them back Maurice Hines. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you heard it right here, folks. Awesome. Well, listen, I want to give you just a moment or two to catch your breath. We have to get on this. I'm just listening to it last night as I'm walking here in the southeastern part of Brooklyn. I'm just walking down the street just to, you know, enjoying this song. And I just have to say, just, well, we're going to get it on for you right now. Summer Nights in Harlem. And then after that.
I'm so excited.
Yes.
This is the first airplay. This is the first radio spin.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, this is just an awesome, awesome song. And I had to just get it on. Summer Nights in Harlem by Miss Allison Williams. And I've got to say, after that, I want to talk a little bit about some of these folks that you've shared the mics and so forth with and been back up for and worked, in tandem with folks like Curtis Blow and Evelyn Champagne King and of course, Melba and all this. So I want to hear all those wonderful. I know you got a couple stories. But first up.
We'll go all the way back and we'll bring it all the way up.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Miss Allison Williams. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more of this show to go. Stay with us. Thank you.
in Harlem make my heart remember you. It was on that night I fell in love with you. Walking hand in hand, the way that lovers do. Summer nights in Harlem although the crowd has changed, the streets are still the same. My heart remembers when that special time and place we promised to.
I wanted to tell you a little bit about some of the amazing companies that are connected with the Hair Radio Morning Show. Folks like FixYourFeet.com with the amazing Dr. Yolanda Raglan. She has two locations, one in New York City, one out in Maryland. She is a DPM, which is a doctor of podiatric medicine, and she knows what she's doing. Please go to FixYourFeet.com. She's pretty much fixyourfeet.com across so many different platforms and social media. You can certainly find her. Grip and dip. And we now, I'm so happy to say that the Hair Radio Morning Show, we actually carry the Grip and Dip. What it is, it's a device. It looks like a watch. It's a beautiful little watch that goes on your wrist. And so when someone like a braider is greasing someone's scalp, or a mom or whomever is greasing someone's scalp, they don't have to put a dip of the hair grease on the back of their wrist. They can actually put it in the repository, which looks like a watch. It's called the Grip and Dip, and it works beautifully, and it's very economical. If you'd like to order it, just let us know here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. We will get you a Grip and Dip. Also, we're going to have it available at hairradio.com. That's H-A-I-R-A-D-I-O LindaCDIO.com. We also like to tell you about Rugged Evolution Beard Care. Their website is ruggedevo.com. So ruggedevo.com. They have a complete line of beard care. I'm really, really quite proud of Arrington and all that they have done at their company. Please go to ruggedevo.com for the complete details and all their new products. They is always releasing new products for the men and beards. Please check them out. Again, ruggedevo.com. Stimulating Roots. Stimulatingroots.com. Now, I love Stimulating Roots. Roots is spelled R-U-T-Z. Let's be clear. Stimulatingroots.com is a complete system which works to prevent hair loss, and it is just amazing. It also, actually, it's a complete system. Please go to stimulatingroots.com. Again, it's R-U-T-Z.com. Smooth Black. I want to say Smooth Black, Inc. Troy Ballard, he's the man behind Smooth Black, Inc., rather. He is Smooth Black, big time hairstylist who is really known, especially out in California on the West Coast. He actually stars in his own radio show right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show wheel on Wednesday mornings at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. We're glad to have him. He shares a lot of trade secrets and so much more. Smooth Black, so thank you so much for your support. HealAndGo.com. They are recent recent company to join us here at Hair Radio, and that's HealAndGo. The folks at HealAndGo.com, they have a line of products and things that really are quite natural, oils and things that really benefit you. Please check them out again, HealAndGo.com. It's an online store. You're going to love them. Check them out. TracyBeautySupply.com. Now, they are all about hair online. So please, Tracy Beauty Supply. Now, she spells Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y. So it's T-R-A-C-Y Beauty Supply. .com. We're happy to have them on board here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And certainly our folks at ChairWatch.com. Now, it's a mobile booking app, and it's free to download. Works on either Apple or Android phones. I mean, it does everything. Your clients can book their appointments, notes, all kinds of things, deposits, images, services shareability, service add-ons, client reminding notifications, all kinds of things. It's really ideal for folks who are in the personal care industry. So anyone who needs to kind of book appointments can do so. Download, again, the ChairWatch app. You can simply go to chairwatch.com and find out complete details. And there's so much to do over at chairwatch.com as well. So I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you for your time. And please check out these amazing companies. Thank you.
I want to tell you all about HealAndGo.com. They make all-natural hair products with a focus on quality. You got to try their scalp stimulator that has 13 oils to promote hair growth. Go to HealAndGo.com to see their complete line and listen out for their interview right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. That's HealAndGo.com, HealAndGo.com.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Well, all right. We're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Wednesday morning, June 2nd of 2021. We're just listening to Miss Allison Williams, singing superstar, R&B superstar. You guys know her really from her big hit, Just Call My Name. And in honor of Black Music Month, June is Black Music Month, so we are celebrating, going to be having on a whole bunch of folks who've been right here on our broadcast that I've had a chance to chat with live. Right now I'm bringing to the line two folks that you've gotten to know very, very well. They help us to hold down the broadcast during the middle live hour of live talk, and we're happy to cover some of today's biggest news
topics and some other things, some other notes. Joining us from time to time, he drops on in, literally, to the broadcast. You guys know him. He hosts his own popular show called The Harlem Wheel Show. It's my honor to welcome back to the broadcast from Harlem, Manhattan, New York City, Harlem Wheel. Good morning. Again, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning. Hello, Harry Radio family. How are you doing?
All right. We're doing great today. And also joining us is, what can I say? Miss Terry has been here. She's just a big part of our broadcast. We're so happy to welcome from Georgia. She comes to us all the way from Atlanta area in Georgia, outside of Atlanta. Miss Terry, good morning, and welcome back to today's broadcast. Good morning.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning.
All right. All right. Okay, terrific. I was about to say, we've just been covering this on Black Music. It's been a big broadcast, even today. We first started our broadcast, I think I kicked off with Dua Lipa. I was telling everybody, and a new song she has called Levitating, and then we went on to the wonderful, wonderful Cheryl Morrow, who is the publisher of the San Diego Monitor News, and she does so much. She's literally a royal hair person. Her father, the great Willie Morrow, who created so much for, like, hair things and hair, you know, like what is the novels and things for the blow dryers and all this other stuff. He's truly a legend in his own right. And so Cheryl is, you know, they're both just outstanding folks. So she was on for literally an hour today talking about the industry. You definitely want to catch it. She has a perspective that's quite unique, and you don't want to miss it. We love having her on the show. So when she comes, you can make yourself a nice big pot of coffee and just sit on down and enjoy what she has to say. So it's nice to have you both back on. This is our first time being together in quite a while. So welcome to my live talk, folks.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this is great to have you both. I do want to say, you know, we have a lot of things that I do want to cover. You know, we're working on our 600th broadcast. Today is our show number 571. Now, the Harlem Wheel Show. Now, you gotta be working hard to catch up with 600 broadcasts, Harlem Wheel. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I got to get the 571, you know, the fact that you're already at 571, I can't even grasp 600. I still remember we was going over 550.
That's right.
Show,
that's
like,
right.
That's, whew, he's at 550 right now. Watch, 600 will be here in the blink of an eye. And
yes.
Folks, I know that you've had people following you for a long time. You've had long-time listeners, you know, who paid attention to the show. Guys, again, let me just let you guys know how tremendously challenging running the show is. And shout out to Mr. Kerry Hines again, because this thing is not easy. I know there's a lot of movement, a lot of people who want to break into new industries or start new career paths in this new line of life and this new normal, as we call it. But just to let you know, for folks who are trying to get out there into this radio game, it is not easy. And for me, somebody starting their own show, I am very grateful to have somebody like Kerry Hines as a mentor, because this thing is not easy at all. Let me tell you that. It is just not. So I'm taking all my notes and trying to get everything together, and I'm still in Kerry Hines' head going, hey, how do you make this again? Hey, what topic am I coming up with? Help.
Well, thank you for that, Harlem Will. I'm happy to share. I have a lot of folks who I get to chat with each day. As I always say, you guys get to be part of my life for 3 hours. So I literally get to live the Hair Radio Morning Show with you guys each day for a few hours, and that's a nice slice in the morning. And then when our show goes off the air, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central Time, my day still goes on. I literally am still doing interviews. I'm still doing research for the broadcast. I'm writing ideas, writing topic thoughts and all kinds of lists. And then I have an administrative part of my day that I handle business of Hair Radio. And then I have a production part of my day, which is towards the end of the day. So it's a never-ending cycle of what we do behind the scenes to bring our broadcast to you guys and to do the best job that we can. And with that being said, I also would like to let everybody know we're always looking for great, talented co-hosts to join us on the air. In addition to folks who are looking to produce. So being a segment producer or a producer of our live talk, we're going to be talking about it. And where it's really an opportunity for you to do research. And if this is something that inspires you, please let us know. We are very happy to kind of toss that on out there to folks who are looking, as you mentioned, Harlem Will, to have a new career path. This is something that can really serve you well. And we teach you because you kind of have to be taught or trained on this particular aspect of radio, because it's not something that is so, you know, that, you know, if you've got a lot of retail experience, you could just go work in retail. This is kind of something that has to be kind of cultivated, and we're able to do that. So I think if we get the right personality, that'll be something great. And so we've got a lot to offer at Hair Radio, and we'll be talking about that as we move along. Right now, I want to just recognize the contributions of Miss Terry as well as Harlem Will. And, you know, we're going to continue to make this program the best it can be, and I'm super, super excited. And stay tuned, because coming up at 8:30 this morning, live all the way from sunny San, sunny South South California, Southern California. Yes, he's out in like the San Bernardino area of California. And I used to live out there as well, in San Bernardino itself. So I can certainly relate, and used to work for the county schools out there. So a little bit of my little background on from the West Coast. But yeah, Smooth Black, it's terrific to have him. You guys know him also as Troy Ballard. He's scheduled to come out to our August event at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City. We'll be talking more about that as well over the next couple of days right here on our broadcast. So that's all I want to say. So a few announcements this morning. Miss Terry, what do you think of when you hear us make all these big announcements on what's happening at Hair Radio?
No, I mean, I think it's wonderful, and we may have to do a show on just radio and how, you know, just the things that you guys are doing and have to do. So I think that'll be a great show for a future broadcast. Mm-hmm.
That's really good, like behind the scenes. What do you think about that, Will? Maybe, yeah.
Oh, behind the scenes? Those are always interesting.
Yeah,
like something like a radio versus podcast, because, you know, some people may think that they're the same thing or one and the same, and you guys can really show us the difference in those two things. So I think that'll be a great show.
Yeah, I agree, Miss Terry. Let me just explain that really quickly as well, because it's a little tricky how we look at it at Hair Radio versus how the world may perceive what a podcast is. The Hair Radio show preceded podcast. There was no such thing as podcast when I created the Hair Radio show. Let me just put that out there. So there was no such thing as podcast. Then we have the Hair Radio show, and radio, the difference is, in general, radio is about a broadcast. A broadcast is the same message that goes out to everybody at the same time, versus a podcast, which is on demand, which means that you listen to it as the listener whenever you decide you wish to listen. A radio show is generally broadcast. However, our radio show, which is broadcast live from 6 to 9 in the morning, becomes podcastable, if you will, because after 9 o'clock, it's on demand. So that's why now these days folks kind of use the terminology interchangeably. So I'm a little bit more of a stickler, if you will, to see podcast versus a radio. But most of the people these days, and to be honest with you, Miss Terry and Harlem Will, glad to have you both with us live on this morning. I'm happy to talk about the difference because I'm thrilled at the podcast world and that this generation, Generation Z, the millennials, all these other folks, and I can say it real well, millennials.
I feel triggered. I feel triggered.
Yes, we see. There was some shade in that. So,
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Right? Yes, absolute shade in that. Well, we love you guys. We love the millennials, and we love all the folks that are out there these days that are, well, you know, to be quite honest, it's these folks, these younger folks who are keeping the podcast idea alive, which means they have reinvigorated radio.
Right.
They reinvigorated radio. We would have, because radio, you know, when television was very, very popular and always been, when radio, television was kind of replaced radio. And so when radio itself started, remember, we've been in this industry for 26 years. I started out in radio in Glendale, California, out in Southern California, not too far from L.A., and that was in 94. And I remember that radio was popular, but it kind of had peaked a little bit. And at that time, FM radio was all the rage. So I remember broadcasting in Hollywood and all over from our studio out in Glendale. And I just remembered that radio had kind of died down a little bit, but with the, you know, and I'll tell you, I'm really going to credit Hair Radio with being the very first podcast I ever knew, because at that time, no one was talking about a subject on radio such as hair. We were it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 1990, that was in 1995, not 94. 94, I started with my children's stuff out on radio. But in 95 is when we first started talking about hair on radio. And we're really excited about it. I'm going to share some of those pictures from our magazines and things. As we say, we've got the receipts. So I'll share some of that on Facebook with you guys, a little later today. And so real happy about that. Now, coming up, just if you guys have just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines. It's Wednesday. It's June 2nd of 2021. It's our show number 571. Goodness grief. 571. We'll be celebrating, should be celebrating our big 600th show sometime in September. So we're real happy about that. I wanted to take a moment to say that Smooth Black, you guys know him. He joins us every Wednesday morning like clockwork. He's amazing. And he gets up early, Harlem Will. He's all the way in Southern California, 3 full hours behind us. So we're going to tease Mr. Harlem Will this morning on that. But, yes, he gets up very, very early. And if he can get up early all the way in sunny California, we know we got to get up, right? And
oh,
Miss
yeah.
Terry, we're going to let him have it this morning. So we're happy to have and I hope you guys join us. I want you both, if you're around, stick with us if you can. We're going to be real, real excited to welcome Mr. Smooth Black on coming up in about a little over 15 minutes. So stay with us. He's got a lot to talk about. And we're excited to have him on again. So this is really nice. His piece, Smooth Black Inc., he has his own business. I call him an entrepreneur, a hairpreneur, if you will. He truly is in every sense of the word. And so we're going to find out a little bit more about Smooth Black and how he got his start in this whole hair biz. We are always happy to talk about that. And then some of these summer styles, what can women do to keep and maintain their hair during the summer months. And see, it might be a little different. He's out in, you know, in California, there's less humidity there versus New York, where it's a pile of humidity on the way. You know, it's very humid.
Yeah, we got exhaust that. We got exhaust fumes that goes into our head too from all the machines and trucks that's in the middle of the streets.
This
so what can
true.
You do about that, Mr. Black?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to ask him about that. But now L.A. and out there in California, they've got smog issues and it's they've got their own world out there in Cali. So we're going to ask them about all that coming up shortly. Hey, I want to say thank you
all
so
right.
much to everybody who supports us here. We are so excited. Remember, we want to remind you guys, we have a new show that's all about veterans that will be coming up on our broadcast network. So we'll keep you informed about that. And we'll see if we can get Smooth Black on for that because he was himself is a veteran. So we'll talk a little. We'll ask him about that today and see what his thoughts are. So, again, stay with us. Grip and dip. And Harlem Will, before we go to a quick break, did you catch your commercial on for Heal and Go? Did you get a chance to hear that? Miss Terry, did you hear it?
I absolutely did. Great job. Great job.
Thank you. Yeah. I heard the commercial. Yeah, I remember the first time I heard it, and I said, whoa, oh, that's me. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you did a great job.
My voice
and we're really...
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, we're very, very proud. Listen, we have to shout out to all of our folks. And I just want to also, you know, acknowledge them. We want to definitely get you guys, you know, this TracyBeautySupply.com, the very important people. The other folks, I need you guys to go download the ChairWatch app. It is free. So any of you guys who are hairstylists, barbers, if you have folks who need to make appointments, you can easily download the ChairWatch app, and they can do it through your phone. They can be charged everything right through the phone. Here, take a listen to the commercial. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. We've got a little bit of a music break. Remember we had on Allison Williams? Let's see if I can find her other song. She had a big R&B hit called Just Call My Name. So I'm going to see if I can find that since we played a wonderful interview earlier today. There's a second part to her interview that we'll get on tomorrow's broadcast, a second part to Miss Allison Williams' interview. And we'll get her song on Just Call My Name right after the wonderful, wonderful commercial this morning. So stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
won't have time for you when you worry. If you need me near, just call and I'll be there in a hurry. All you have to do is snap your fingers and I'll appear.
C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd, let's say 1,000 people, and I ask, how many here have met C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching. She went to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet, the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? Who,
right.
What shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone. And hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99% of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone, about Madam C.J. Walker, but then you might have three or four people saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Correct.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
Because she
Yes. Go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. She was.
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually, she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks. I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to parocollege.com. And Paro College, it's just very simple. The word, first word is four letters. Paro, P as in Paul, O as in Ocean, R as in Ralph, O as in Ocean, Paro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building, and then they'll also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, yeah, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first people in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire? Was Annie Malone, or was it, I mean, not that it, you know, is something we should, you know, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker with all of her, you know, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionaires of African descent, women, female millionaires in the country.
And that's
just
what I'm getting.
Timing.
Why? How on this earth? I try to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both and all the things that
they
stand for.
They both are wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's not even part of the discussion here.
Right. Exactly. But how on this earth did Madam C.J. Walker take all the things that she learned, which I'm sure was a wonderful tribute to Annie Malone, and seems that only America, it seems like we only remember or know of the accomplishments of the student as opposed to the teacher.
I think a lot of it had to do with Annie Malone. What happened is that she ended up getting married in, I think it was 1924-ish, right around there. And what happened is that after she got married, her husband, he was not a very good man. And he caused such incredible problems for her that I just shake my head. And felt that he was due so much more than and they ended up getting divorced, let me put it that way.
Wow.
And And from that point on, what happened is her business became, she was a very, if you look at her building and everything that she did, it was incredible, impeccable, you know, clean, it was orderly, it was, I mean, you could see the record system she had. My point being is that this was an incredible person. But once, after the wedding, then what happened is that he began to sabotage everything. And so, and she never recovered. Then the IRS got involved, and she never recovered from that at all. Here's a college that employed, in 1926, 175 people with franchise outlets in North America, South America, Africa, the Philippines. A wealthy, wealthy woman. And then at the end of her life, she pretty much dies destitute. And all that's left right now is the orphanage, the Annie Malone Orphanage, that was a facility on Good Avenue. I don't know if you remember the song Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Yes,
he
of course.
He grew up on Good Avenue, right around the corner. And that's where the spelling of Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D-E, in the song, it comes from that Good Avenue.
All this time, I thought it was just Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D. So
yeah, G-O-O-D-E. If you look it up on the internet, you'll see it's that's how it's spelled.
Wow.
And he later became a beautician under the Poro system. He graduated in 1952 because he thought the music thing wasn't going to work. And so he became a beautician. And, of course, his songs just took off. And, you know, he never went back to it. But
Right. Amazing.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You are listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It's Wednesday morning, June 2nd of 2021. I want to bring to the line, first I'm going to reintroduce you to Miss Terry this morning out of Georgia. She is from the Atlanta area in Georgia. Good morning, Miss Terry, and welcome and welcome, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. You got it. And joining us also, I'm repeating twice this morning. It's crazy. Anyway, we are so excited. If it's Wednesday and it's 8:30 Eastern time, we have to bring to the show the one and only. Now, he's an industry icon in his own right. It is our honor to welcome Smooth Black, to have him as part of our regular lineup here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's saying a lot. Mr. Troy Black, good morning to you. Welcome. Troy Black, Troy Ballard. You see, I've mixed Smooth Black and Troy Ballard. Oh, I love when I do that. I just knew in my head, I said, that didn't sound right. But how are you doing this? It's early. And listen, I have no excuse. I mean, I'm here on the East Coast. Miss Terry's on the East Coast, but you, my friend, are 3,000 miles away in sunny Southern California, and it is early out there. So you are really up early to do this for our listeners. So just wanted to say thank you and acknowledge that.
Well, you're welcome, sir. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, first, I wanted to say this because we had mentioned in our setup this morning that well, we talked a little bit about you on the air before you got on, and I was telling everybody that we're starting this amazing new broadcast soon about veterans. We're finally paying tribute on our network to the amazing contribution to America these folks have had. And so we're going to be talking about everything, their challenges, and just getting back into normal life, some of the things that are still ongoing for these folks long after they stop being a part of active duty. So what are your thoughts when you hear that we're going to be launching an actual show about veterans? You being a veteran yourself, Smooth Black, what can you tell us about what goes through your mind?
Well, first, it was an honor and a privilege to serve my country. And I don't take that for lightly because, you know, it's such a difference on military life, and then you have to adjust to becoming a civilian again. The military gave me a sense of order, direction. It put me where I was basically in control of, you know, who I am, knowing who, you know, where I'm supposed to be at, when I'm supposed to be there, you know, and getting things done. So it was a great place to start for me.
Wow.
To hear
anytime
you someone wants to pay homage to our veterans, it's, you know, it's a blessing, you know, because I feel so different about, you know, because people ask me, why you don't watch sports all the time? And as I said, one, I was an athlete. And I said, number two is that there is a difference that someone who has a gift, whether it's football, baseball, track, it's wonderful. But when a person makes up their mind to go in voluntarily to serve their country, but we, you know, they pay athletes millions of dollars to, you know, entertain us. But, you know, really the price that, you know, to serve is an honor, it's a privilege, but our pay scale is such a difference for someone who's willing to die for their country and to serve their country than someone who's just playing basketball, football, and, you know, they're millionaires.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping, Troy Ballard, that you will come on once we get this show launched and give us your perspective on your career in the military and outside of the military and all of that. And I just think you'll be able to add that. You know, it's a pleasure every time we have you on the air, and which is great, which is absolutely great. Listen, the reason we brought you here today, that you're up early, is because it is the time that we devote to Smooth Black Ink. We want to get you on to share your perspective in the hair biz and all of this wonderful, this legendary career that you have. So we'll start there. And as we do each week, we usually have you to give us some inspirational, encouraging words to kind of kick off our little segment here. Would you be able to do that? You know, just kind of give us some. No one can give encouraging words like Smooth Black. So please, take it away, Smooth Black.
You know, first of all, I thank God every day, you know, that, you know, as the word says, I look to the hills from which cometh my help, but my help cometh from the Lord. You know, it's not the hill, it's just a metaphor, but, you know, I look to the hills. So even in my relationship with people, God always has me inspired to just, you know, try. If someone's not smiling, put a smile on their face, give them yours. You know, it's so easy to come into a room and just speak good morning, cover everybody. It's how we treat each other and how we interact with one another that makes us complete today. You always have different personalities. Let the good one shine. Avoid negativity as much as you can. Stay positive in your frame of mind every day. Think on good things, you know. So I thank God that he gives me an opportunity just to, when, you know, my customers sit in my chair, we have dialogues, we share, we encourage, we uplift, we inspire. And it's all about developing your character. Once you get your character right, you know, God's going to do the rest. So just first of all, in Matthew 6:33, it's first seek ye the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. He says, all these things shall be added unto you. So I thank God that he's given me the opportunity this morning just to tell him thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. And I pray that today someone who's sick gets healthy in the name of Jesus, and all his many blessings be upon us today. In Jesus' name I pray. And Carrie, it's awesome, yes. You know, what you do, getting up and, you know,
thank you,
giving us a broadcast, you know, a platform to just share. So I just want to tell you thank you, too, awesome.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Well, listen, amazing words, as always, on the Hair Radio Morning Show each Wednesday morning, Smooth Black Ink, Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. Listen, I want to jump on in, as I told folks leading into your segment this morning, summer hair care. I'm always concerned about this. We get a lot of, questions over the years during the, you know, the spring, late spring, going into summer, particularly, and this might be hard for you because this is a question that's East Coast based on the high humidity, because you don't have that so much out there in sunny, dry, beautiful palm tree lined streets of California. You don't have it out there in California so much, do you?
We got a dry heat that'll make you sweat too, though.
Yeah, that's true. That dry heat to me was like an oven. Literally an oven. I have to tell you the truth, folks. I'm sorry. I love you guys out in California, but I remember, being in Riverside and literally running from the house to the car, running.
Yes, sir.
Through, you know, it was hot as Hades to me out there. I should say Hades, but it was hot. So, but the dry heat, is that better or worse? I know we've talked a little bit about it last week, but is it better or worse than the humidity? Which one is, and Miss Terry, I'm going to have you to weigh in too. I know you've got some stylist questions coming up for Smooth Black, but what do you have to say, Troy Ballard, this morning on that?
Well, climate, your body has to adjust to wherever, you're living at. So, it adapt, climate control within ourselves. But it was a difference carried from California. Remember, I moved to Louisville, Kentucky. And
oh, that's right.
Yes. I'm going to take Louisville, Kentucky over. That's my mindset. And when I got there, it was such a eye-opening event for me because of humidity. I never thought about or took that into factor.
Exactly.
So when I arrived there, and I'll give kudos to my friend at Big City Styles in Louisville, Kentucky. He gave me the opportunity to work in a salon. There's a barbershop in the front, and the salon was in the rear.
What? So you worked out here on the east? I'm in shock. Wow.
Yes. Okay. Let me finish my story.
Sorry. True.
No, Kerry. So when I walk in the salon, I notice that there's no, I love Chris Drury Evans. I'm a Kentucky maid or something in the room. I see plenty of dryers, rows of, just hair dryers. And I discovered that they really don't curl with heat. Everything that they do is a roller set or they use the ceramic tools. Nobody uses direct heat out there. So I was learning really quick because, I'm a short hair stylist. I love short hair, but I do every aspect, short, medium, long, layer cut, do it all. But the humidity is such a difference. You would literally, when I get done with my client, before I'm finished, go out and start your car, cut your air conditioner on, and when you walk out the salon, you got to go directly to your car. And, you don't want to sit in your car and it's hot. And you get in your car, perspire, and that hair will revert. One thing about humidity, though, is your moisture. So it's like your hair is going to grow. And one thing I found that, for Louisville, there was very few women. I think out of 20%, maybe less than 20% of the women wore short hair. Everybody else had long, beautiful, healthy hair. But I was like, but there's no style, just the curls. And if they don't have it in curls, they got it pulled in the ponytail. So you can't really see, until they let it down and, get dolled up. But, with a short hair, you always got a unique look distinction because you can see your whole head, per se, your shape, your features, with a great cut or a color that'll make it pop. But, for California, our climate is much different. I'm used to the hottest been right now at about 85 degrees, 87. But, last year and on July 3rd, it got to 117 degrees where I live at. So it can get hot, too. So, and I'm finding right now that a lot of women are going to short hair because of the season that we're getting ready to come into. They're going to come out the commercial hair, the weaves, because, they don't want to be patting. You got to be patting that head because underneath there, it's just like a cap. If they got a cap, there was a heat zone in there. And, so they're always, dealing with issues because even when, wearing commercial hair weaves, it's important that you condition that hair and you shampoo, regularly. Some people would just go without because once you get a nice long hair weave, some women don't, go back to the stylist for a month or two and they really haven't taken care of it. So when they come out, their scalp, you got an odor in it because it's not taken care of it. So that's why I always consult my clients that if you get an installation from me, we're going to regular because I'm concerned about your hair underneath. We want to grow that. But if I give you a Beyonce or, one of them long hair, beautiful, you know, hairstyles. You know, you got to take care of it, because what they don't know is that on the set, they'll take theirs off and go home. But these women now are getting these, you know, we can go into that another time, but short hair, man, it's a thing, you know, for this season. And it's going to help the women, especially ones that like to work out, and, you know, because you got to cut, you can wrap it, tie it up real tight, get your workout on. When your body comes back down to normal, unravel that hair, style your hair yourself, you know, and keep it moving.
Well, I tell you, that is just amazing, the styles, the shortcuts that you are known for. And I want to say, I thought I heard you mention July 3rd. That wouldn't just happen to have another significance to you, would it now, Mr. Troy Ballard?
Oh, yes. My birthday.
Of course. I remember that. So I just wanted to take a note of that. Hey, listen, we've got Miss Terry on with us, as we so often do, and she always has a question or two, and not what we call a Smooth Black Day. We call it Smooth Black Day now. We have Miss Terry in with Stylist to Stylist. She's a hairstylist out of wonderful Atlanta area in Georgia. So, Miss Terry, take it away. You're on with Smooth Black this morning.
Good morning, Troy Ballard.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show. I'm good. Thank you so much. So my first question for you is, how and when did you realize that you had an interest in doing hair, and who was your first victim?
And I know the victim story that you're probably going to mention. I love this. Go ahead, Troy Ballard.
I mean I got started in high school. You know, I used to cut some of the guys on the football team. My best friend, Ricky Craig, he was mixed black and Hawaiian, and he had a very curly texture of hair. But, you know, I used to take my aunt's, she was a seamstress, and she used these fixture shears. They were really sharp. And I used to take my friends, and, you know, back then, 1980, I'm telling my age.
Yes. Well, don't tell mine, just yours.
But I used to take and pick that afro out and pick it till I shaped my friend's hair like basketball, just the perfect afro.
Right.
But that was not, you know, I was an athlete. You know, I graduated, had like 6 varsity letters in, you know, track, football, and baseball, and never thought about becoming a stylist or nothing until I went into the military. When I served my company, I was, tongue got tied. When I was serving my country, I was my first tour was in Germany, and well, let me back up. When I went through basic training, they cut my hair, and I didn't like the way they cut it. And after a while, I purchased me some clippers, and I started cutting my own hair. And I was doing a decent job. But then, because in the military, when I was in Germany, we'd go out on a training exercise. We may be out for 2 or 3 months and come back in on the weekend. I go in there, you know, in the bathroom, hook myself up, I'm ready to go. And everybody else got to wait to go to the barber. So then they're like, who cut your hair? And I'd be like, I did. Can you cut mine? I was like, okay. The first guy that I ever got to was my roommate. This is the first Caucasian I ever cut straight hair. And, oh, my God, I had the clippers in my hand, and my hand started shaking. I never had experienced that.
Get out of here.
I'm dealing with a different texture of hair. This hair is straight. You know, ours is over curly, kinky, wavy. But I messed him up so bad, I gave him money to go to the barbershop.
Oh, what I wouldn't give to see what that looked like, Troy Ballard. What I wouldn't give to see what that looked like.
Well, see, then the story goes on. While I was in the military, I met my first wife, and she was going to school to be a cosmetologist, and she was doing commercial hair weaves and makeup. Back then, she was, you know, flawless to me, you know, 5'10", bow-legged, and Creole, out in, you know, from New Orleans, but we were living in Alexandria, Louisiana at the time. And, you know, but I seeing what she's doing, and I'm cutting hair. I said, well, I'm ready to get out of the military. Let's, you know, you'll be the stylist in the salon, and I'll be the barber. You know, so that was my goal. And, but, you know, life happens. We went our different ways. The next woman I met, she was another salon owner in Texas. And this what got me. Let me hurry. Every time we go out, I got it. I mean, I'm used to paying, but she's like, I got it. And I looked in the billfold, not being nosy, but I see the $1,500. And she said, well, I'm a hairstylist. I'm like, really? And she just went on to tell me, I said, you made what? That today? I said, that's 2 weeks of work for me. So what drew me was one, I believe God gave me a gift and a talent, number one. And it was part of my destiny because every woman that I met was dealing with hair. I can already barber, but I never dreamed that I would pick up the curling irons and the shears, but I was curious. And then I noticed the difference that a barber makes, and at that time, $10 a haircut versus the ladies at that time probably being $45, $50 to sit in the chair at that time. So there was always a difference, you know, $10 here or $55 there for the, you know. And now I can outcut a barber and style him and cut a lady quicker than he can finish that haircut. No. But, you know,
wow.
Money was incentive. And then God gave me creative ability to, you know, because that's why my first salon was another ballad creation, because everything sits out my, come out my chair is being created by me, and I'm getting able to work with my hands. So that was what my story is, how I got into hair.
Wow.
Okay. Great answer.
That was not good. It was a great story.
Yeah, great story.
Yes. Okay, Ms. Perry, I know you had a subsequent follow-up. And I'll just remind everybody, you know, for the folks who are just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening live. We're on this Wednesday morning, June 2nd of 2021. It's our show number 571. I literally have to say that out loud, 571 on our broadcast today. And we're just so happy. Again, if it's Wednesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, then it's time for Mr. Troy Ballard, Smooth Black, legendary hairstylist, who's on live all the way from Southern California. So it's real early out there. We don't even mention your time zone is that early. We don't even say, because you know, it's so early out in Pacific time zone. So we're just so honored to have you. And, you know, just going back to some of these memories. And so we usually have on Troy Ballard, and he gives us a lot of wonderful sage advice for the professionals as well as for you guys who are the enthusiasts. And Miss Perry, who is our wonderful on-air contributor, and we're happy to have her. She's a hairstylist out of Georgia area, and we call it our stylist to stylist segment. We like to say where she comes up with a question or two. I'm hoping some of these can stump Mr. Troy Ballard, but I don't think we'll be able to do that. But Miss Perry, anything else you want to ask of the great Mr. Troy Ballard?
Yes, I have a second question, which is on behalf of our listeners. What is the greatest tip that you could or would give a client as far as preserving their freshly styled hair?
Okay, repeat that one more time.
What is the greatest tip you could or would give a client as far as preserving their freshly styled hair?
Yes, keeping their hair style that you just done.
Okay. First, it's, you know, I style hair according to, I guess, your lifestyle. And I try to educate my clients how to upkeep their hair. You know, if it's long, of course, we need to wrap it at night. We just don't go and lay down on our hair. So I try to, and someone said, well, Troy, my hair didn't last. I said, well, what did you do? You know, I got to find out all these things. But I retail my products to them. That's another way that cosmetologists, entrepreneurs can, you know, increase their revenue by retailing products professionally to your clients. That way, when they're away from you, you'll know what they're using on their hair. Because if you're in my chair and you become one of my clients, I'm very concerned about, you know, I'm your hair doctor now. Actually, when you sit in my chair, your hair no longer belongs to you, it's mine. And while we're here, I'm going to educate you on how, when, and why to make sure. Because my client is my representation of who I am. My client is my advertisement. It speaks volumes with word of mouth travel. And I know the style that I put on my client when they leave my chair, someone is going to compliment them. And that's why I give them incentives. Take a stack of my business cards. Once you get complimented, they actually, you know, just hand them a card. Let them know if they come, give them your name. When they tell me you were referred by me, the next time you sit in my chair, I'll give you a discount. You know, I'll take something off. So if it's short, you know, I don't retail my clients a relaxer or anything like that. I just give them finishing styling products, so the oils, moisturizers, and creams. Depend on if their scalp is dry or overly dry, excessive, or maybe you have psoriasis. You know, we're going to take care of that stuff. It's topical, and it can be, you know, with the proper treatments, you know, can alleviate that itch that they be having. So when they come, it's like, you know, now we got to assess everything and give them the, I always say a prescription. You know, you can write out a prescription. You need to take this, this, and this, and you need to do this and that. And they follow those guidelines. And, you know, now when they go out every day, someone's going to compliment them. I've seen some of my clients a week later, actually their hair looked better than I did because they learned how to take that haircut, wrap it at night, keep the sheen in it, and, you know, have a great look. And that makes me look good.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, that is great advice. Hey, speaking of tips, Troy Ballard, I want to ask you about a little bit of a different tip as we kind of wind down on this particular broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. And, you know, and that is about tipping. So this is a classic question here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. If the hairstylist did the service and it happens to be that the hairstylist is also the owner, are you, is it okay to tip that person, or should you tip the person or say no because they're the owner? Does that weigh in, or should it weigh in with a client tipping or not? What's your take on that? Do you know what I mean? So if the person is both the owner and the stylist.
Well, first of all, if the owner did the service, the owner should be, depending on how well it was rendered, because, you know, people, I tip because I'm in the industry, you know, and we're servants. So if I give you a great service, if you tip me, thank God. If you don't tip me, I still thank God, you know. But me personally, if someone attended to me and took care of me, like when I go get my nails and my feet done, the different women might want me on my hands, but I tip both of them. But I give the lady that do my feet more.
Well, let's hope that's the case. As you should. As you should. I've seen those. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, we got to talk about this on the next show, because when you're with us next week at 8:30 Eastern next Wednesday, because that's a big thing. And I want to talk a little bit more about, because I have a lot of tipping questions that we have tried to get to the bottom of on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We never could, but we need to continue to have those discussions. And I also want to talk about the pedicure for the man. So we want to talk about that as well the next week's show. Plus, we got a lot of the hair talk. And through the week, once I get our Hair Radio Morning Show app relaunched, we will be sharing that. And we're going to have the Ask Hairstylist and Ask Barber and all that type of stuff on there. So you'll be able to ask your questions to Smooth Black in advance, and we'll have them address them right here on the show. Plus, of course, you can always call us in live and talk with us as well. Listen, Smooth Black from sunny California, I want to say thank you for being with us. Can you lead us out today as the show kind of winds down? We have about 30 seconds. Can you give us some wonderful words of encouragement to send us off? And we'll see you guys back here on tomorrow's broadcast at 6 for another edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Take it away, Troy Black. And thank you, Ms. Perry. Good job.
Thank you.
Always remember, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today, wake up, put a smile on your face, and let's get ready to take over. I mean, make over, and whatever we do with this industry, to all my cosmetology entrepreneurs, I'm telling you, just get your free style on. Create great looks today. Make someone fabulous today. Put a smile on somebody's face today. And Carrie Hines, the Carrie Hines Morning Radio Show.